good are you at forgiving? Forgiving yourself for letting you down. Forgiving yourself for sins you have committed and then just moved on. How good are you at forgiving? Forgiving others for wronging you. Forgiving others for having let you down and then moving on and leaving it as it is. How good are you at forgiving? Forgiving God for letting you down and then coming through and then moving on to the next one. You know, if you think of the answers to those questions, we realize that the forgiveness is hard. It's hard to let go without collecting a pound of flesh, and especially when we've got an issue with God. How do you get a pound of flesh from somebody who's spirit? How do you do it? We need to be honest about these kind of topics, this one in particular. You see, this morning, I'm going to make a wild guess, and it's probably not too far off the mark, is that we're probably pretty bad at forgiveness as individuals and corporate bodies. And the sad reality is that we often play games when it comes to forgiveness. Too often, we hold forgiveness hostage or for ransom, waiting to get what we want that we might call. And when we play these kinds of games, forgiveness is what we hold just out of reach of the other. Of the person who did something, said something, or didn't do or didn't say something that felt so wrong that we now refuse to forgive. And in fact, we just leave them dangling, hanging down the weight of that wrong. And then they might even know that you think it was a wrong. And also for lesser wrongs, so wrongly that we may fear the need to stop and ponder whether or not or even when we'll choose to forgive, we still leave them hanging while we play this game with them. So we need to talk because we play games with forgiveness. Forgiveness is another first word that we need to better understand. And we've been grouping the six words, and so far we've looked at grace and mercy. So God has said us that God has done great things. We've come to the place of faith. Faith is moving through the unknown future with a solid trust in what Jesus has already done. His death and resurrection, the day of payment on today and tomorrow. We've looked at holiness. Instead of being a state of relationship, we are in Christ declared holy, clean, pure, undefiled. And we are also declared to be his children, children of Almighty God, set apart for his sole use. And last week we looked at worship. It was our recognition of and appreciation for who God is and what he does. It is the life that we get to live with and for God. And so this morning we're playing with forgiveness. And I use that word play carelessly, I think. It's not a game. But forgiveness. Forgiveness is an intentional act of our hearts and minds to set another free with no strings attached. Because if there's strings attached, there's still a puppet to the maliciousness of our own hearts. And sadly, when we've been wrong, or fear we've been wrong, we sometimes play judge, jury, and executioner as we measure out to others as we find them wanting. And we sometimes declare unforgiveness, which we might call justice. We think forgiveness has been underscored. Or we don't even say forgiveness until we're satisfied that the other has told us or something that we said that wrong. And in so doing, that becomes for us sin. If we say, well, if we have dangerous sisters for us, scary this can be for us if we play these games and then we're going to help us figure out how to land in a better place. So I invite you in your Bible to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 9 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading at verse 9. This bread is how you should pray. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, as much as all of us are forgiven, forgiving other people is directly related to being forgiven by God. That's our salvation. That's our open heart relationship with God. That we don't forgive questions or compromises our soul's health. And so not forgiving affects our relationship with God. So we literally are praying with Father, when we do not forgive, we will get burned. Unforgiveness is a cancer that eats away at our soul. It destroys our inner health. It becomes a wedge that will separate, destroying a relationship with the other, a relationship with ourselves, and a relationship with God. Unforgiveness is a sin against God. Unforgiveness can be turned toward self, leaving us literally stuck in the past. Because we're nearer to the ground where that offense is than we haven't let go. And unforgiveness will leave us alone, separated from loving influence of God and the loving connection of those around us. We cannot forgive the sins and offenses of the other person is to deny or to reject God's forgiveness of us and to prove a lack of appreciation for God's mercy and grace, which is supposed to blossom in us. In a relationship with others. And to not forgive is an insult to God, a sin against God's holiness, His justice, and His mercy, and as an offense against a brother or sister who is created in the image of God. And many of us here this morning have forgiveness issues. Issues perhaps ignored for too long. And I'd like to help us. So the key elements of forgiveness include, and at 6 points I'm sure there are others, but forgiveness includes pardon or excusing one's enemies. It's about letting God have a claim against the wrong. It's releasing from a debt attached to a claim for a wrong you suppose that has happened. It's to forget or cease to remember a wrong. It is to disregard or overlook the law. It is to put away or to remove to declare God. Now, I do need to pause, and I'll just step way over here when I do this. I want to give a disclaimer. As I describe forgiveness, as I unpack forgiveness, as I invite you to forgive, the disclaimer is that there are some wrongs that can't easily be let go just by saying, I forgive, even believing that. Sins of abuse, sexual nature, of deep criminal behavior, often need professional support in processing them. And sometimes saying and believing and living forgiveness doesn't immediately remove the dangerous nature of a relationship with someone who has wronged you. And so I need you to hear that this morning, because as I talk, it may sound like, oh, I can just forgive and move on with my life. And maybe you can, but maybe you know you can't. And so that's a disclaimer this morning, that as easy as this sounds or might sound, there are other pieces to it that we need to be careful with. And if you're one of those individuals who's stuck someplace with their fear or danger attached with forgiving and forgetting, which is that. Biblical word pictures. help us capture the essence of forgiveness. In Psalm 103, in verse 11, we read, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, their power can remove and transgress his torment." And so, if you think about that, those words, again, we're looking at God. And as we look at those words, what we're recognizing is that forgiveness creates a distance between the wrong and the one who has done the wrong. And in that distance, love moves in and begins relational healing. It kind of pulls it apart and places something new between us so that we can have healthy relationships. And Isaiah 43, after verse 25, we read, and this is God speaking to Israel. I am he who brought out your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more. Forgiveness is a forgiveness. Forgiveness is a forgiveness. Say that with me. Forgiveness is a forgiveness. And I know we struggle with the theology of God not actually being able to forget, because he knows all things and all times always. And sometimes we need to forget as God forgets. That is, we move it to a place in our life where it is no longer part of our life. It's put away. And that's what God is talking about when he says, "I forget." And it's choosing to not remember, is to move on with the relationship as if nothing had happened. Thirdly, in Isaiah 44, verse 22, God, again, speaking to Israel, "I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist." Forgiveness is an aggressive response to a wrong. It is tossing them in the trash. It's running them through the shredder. It's burning them up. It's removing them as if they were nothing anymore. And to enjoy a clean heart. And again, I remind you of my disclaimer. There are some wrongs that need more than that. Just be reminded of that. Now, as we continue to think about these scriptures, and as I said, keep in mind that these words describe God and his behavior, but they are a model for you and me in how forgiveness should be functioning in our lives. Now, my hope today is that each of us will use, perhaps today as the first day for soul freedom, if we've been carrying the baggage of unforgiveness toward a wrong, toward a person attached to that wrong, or toward people attached to that wrong. And so for today, what I'd like to do is I'd like to focus on two aspects of forgiveness, and I believe there are many more, but these two are the big ones for us. The first is to choose. And the second is the finality of forgiveness. Now, the first, the idea that forgiveness is a work of choice. We choose to forget, or we choose to not forget. It's rather easy to measure another person and find them wanting or not quite enough. It's also easy to decide that they do not deserve to be forgiven. Now, this might be true. That they, in your measure, they don't seem to deserve to be forgiven, but that should not hinder our willingness to forgive. We can forgive another person even if they are not worthy, because this is a choice. Forgiveness is a local choice. Secondly, forgiveness, true forgiveness, is final. The very nature of forgiving, to relieve, to cover, to wash away, or to overlook piece of an end. We will deal with it up to this point, and then it's done. To forgive is to choose to move on, to press forward without the baggage of the wrong that we feel demands forgiveness. To forgive is to put to death, or to declare void a wrong or a debt that we feel or felt was owed to us. Forgiveness. Now, perhaps you've been wondering about the shredder on the platform this morning. Oh my goodness, there's a shredder on the platform. The shredder for us today
lesson to help you visualize the finality of forgiveness. You see, when we forgive, it is as if the wrong is credited. In essence, it is dead, buried, gone, useless, unable to pull back again. And this brings us to the idea of being stuck and getting unstuck. And so the question today is, if this is you, where are you stuck? Who have you been holding hostage by not forgiving a wrong? A neighbor? A sibling? A parent? A business? Your church? Your spouse? Your pastor? A child? Your child? Maybe even yourself? Or God? We've been holding them hostage by not forgiving them. The other piece of this is that Jesus said difficult things, things that we need to process and own. He said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's a difficult thing. Jesus said, forgive until you return of so many times. That's a difficult thing. Forgive as I have forgiven you. That seems like an impossible thing. Just forgive and get out of your way. And I find it interesting as I study this area of psychology, this area of forgiveness in our lives, how many individual teachings seem to reflect or parallel Scripture. These are just words from various books on forgiveness. The unforgiving, bear every past wrong as a fresh wound. It won't heal. The unforgiven seldom accept forgiveness. The unforgiven are stuck in the past. The unforgiven cannot embrace the future because there's something to pass. And so we must, I fear, recognize and embrace the wounds that we carry in our fragile hearts and our fragile souls if we are indeed playing these kind of games with forgiveness. And so on the stack of that relation with the Holy Spirit's assistance allows us to identify the wound, to recognize the spirit of unforgiveness that we have been carrying with us. And does, it goes with us everywhere, because it involves the person or the thing, the entity that has wronged us, but it also sets stumbling blocks for healthy relationships with others, because we might think, well, they can be just like that, and so who can I trust beside myself? But we're already liars to ourselves, and so we're alone. So all of this leads us meaning to make hard choices regarding forgiveness. We must forget. I'm not going to forget. We must forget. Well, I'm not going to forget. We must forget.